Jetta. The footy's on Triple M. For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
No, the Blues and the back. Tigers Friday night. Shut up, Gary.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Thought I was going to do it all again.
Blues and the Tigers. That's what's happening Friday night. Football's back. MCG, the venue. You know all of that, but there's other stuff I'm excited about.
Cricket.
Well, the Duke. He also comes back, so we look forward to welcoming him, of course, after a nice furlough.
Got some news.
Not sure he is, Duke.
Got some news on that front.
I thought I was away for a while, but the Duke's had a comprehensive spell, but he's back, so we'll enjoy his company, of course.
Got some bad news, Duke.
And also, we'll speak
to... it's not that bad.
We'll speak to Ivan Marich up here in the box. Neville Fields, of course, the dad of a young man debuting today, and that's a great story too. So we look forward to Neville, former Essendon and South Melbourne player. But before we get to all of that, the best in the business, comprehensively the best in the business here in this box, the Chief, four-time Premiership superstar for the Hawks. Hello, Chief.
Hello, Jim. I'm glad you could make it tonight.
Very nice to be here too,
you look
Chief.
Fresh,
I'm excited.
You look rested.
I'm rested. I've ploughed my way through the ash, and I'm back. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim. It is good to have you back, because last week we had an extra hour added to the itinerary, and Gary did it beautifully.
Manfully.
But he did miss you. He didn't like doing it without you.
He won't tell you that himself,
but I know he missed you. No,
having said that, Wolf, last Friday night, smooth. One of the best nights we've ever had.
Teamwork, wasn't it?
I know.
Good teamwork.
And a good feel.
I'll say is this. If the words you used, Purple, were he missed you, what drifted through to me is he did miss you. Not only on that, but also on the footy show.
On Tuesday night on the footy show.
I didn't cop it.
No, we didn't miss you.
That's what I'm saying.
If you elect not to be on the show, Jim, you know what's coming.
No, I knew it.
And we didn't disappoint.
I heard this was a comprehensive through.
Didn't disappoint. But anyway, it's good to have you back. Oh. And we'll be game tonight.
A massive game. And we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about last night, Port Adelaide Collingwood.
Let's see
over there.
This.
And yes, please.
It's the time of the AFL season when people go away.
Yep.
Right. Now, there are two people in the industry that don't.
Yes.
Chief and me.
Right.
And we stay and hold the fort. Even Warrior, the great the stoic man that he is, had to have a two-dayer down the coast.
But I don't miss any commitments by doing it.
Well,
you take yourself out of circulation.
There's a couple of stories.
No, I didn't actually.
Circulating.
No. Anyway, I was working on one.
Cop it, Warrior. You went and had a two-day holiday. So Chief and I hold the fort.
Well, can I put a rider on you two holding the fort?
No.
Once the grand final's finished, neither of you do a thing until the first ball's bounced the next year.
That's not true.
So you have a six-month time of doing nothing.
That's false. I drink a lot of piss after the game. A lot.
I was going to say.
Anyway, so we held the fort.
Yes.
You decided to shove off and, what
shipped off.
Numbers suggested that we don't miss you. So off you went. And then that's all right. I don't like it, but I live with it because you're back the next week.
Yes.
The other bloke that sits there, the pencil man.
What are you trying to tell me?
Some farcical setup that he's got going where he has about six in show holidays where they go away on the hot breakfast. Ratings dominating, by the way, so that's fair enough. But he goes away then. He goes away when he's tired or run down. He goes away when he gets a sniffle. And he went away, I think, the best part of a month ago. And was due back.
He'd be back 7 o'clock.
Tonight, which he was going to cop it anyway because he's had about 4 weeks off. News through from Big Nose.
No.
No show.
You would be joking.
Explain this, Jim. How do you get out?
Don't know.
But the human pipe cleaner can't get flown out.
All I'll say to you is this, Chief. I am sitting there, and the sky in Bali when I was there was like a West Indian postcard. There was not a cloud or a piece of disturbance in it. I then got hold of...
Must have had a bad little gust of wind come through Tuesday night. Couldn't get back for the show.
Gary.
Couldn't get out on that day.
We moved the show. That's what happened.
Yeah, but there must have
it forward.
I know that, but there must have been a bit more of a dense fog there that day.
So I had me flight booked for the next day.
Well, you can change it.
Could have come home early.
You can change it.
Well, I'm going to explain. Well, I did try and change it, and they were unable to move.
Ash.
That guy couldn't be moved.
Anyway.
How hard did you try, Jim?
Well, I went to the 2IC of the company. That's true. That's hard.
Not to the top. Anyway, what is going on with pencil?
Well, I don't understand it.
Chief?
I've got no idea. Chief, have you got any intel on
him? He's on the running sheet, to
unless,
be honest.
Unless he's sourcing some sort of newfangled vice that's going to give his head a bit better shape. I don't think there is any acceptable excuse for him not being here.
Chief. You and I, who are now running this setup, will we let him back or maybe not at all?
We had this discussion because two gentlemen came in and called last Friday night and they were exceptional.
Unbelievable.
Exceptional.
Big Schwatter and Big Bristle, they were.
Oh, very good, Jim.
Yeah, they would have been outstandingly good.
And the suggestion was thrown around that maybe Jim would benefit from going back to Sundays and maybe the odd Saturday night and doing a little bit.
Sunday twilight, I think, was mentioned.
Might brush up his skills a little
bit. Well, let me, while we're discussing this type of garbage, let me ask you then, because in my absence, we had a rating survey, did we not?
Apparently.
Right. So therefore, when you're away, Gary, you're away.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm on the Jimbaran Bay in Bali.
Yes.
And therefore, I haven't got access to all the stuff that everyone else has got access to.
Yes.
I know there's a survey.
Yes.
I just wait to hear. Mm. Another one contacts me.
No.
So I have to get back to civilization to ask you, gentlemen, what happened.
Well, you know, I only care about 55 and under. That's all we care about here. And
I actually more look at the 10
I think
plus
it was 15
figure.
To 1 or something and in the 55 and under.
But what about all listeners?
I don't take much.
That's what 10 plus is. That's everyone listening.
I know that, but we've never worried about that, have we?
I always do.
Do
depends
you?
What the result is.
For me, that's
Gary.
Your bragging rights.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how we went there.
Purple, can you fill me in? Because as I say, I wasn't here, and it's hard for me when I'm not here to get mad around things.
Jim, I actually think you do know. You seemed to raise it yesterday when you rang me at length and had a
chat
about
knowledge
a few
things.
I don't know the specifics, but I heard off the back of a particularly good hosting job by Wolf last week that we may have had a strong book.
So, Gary,
yep.
Where are we at with it?
We had a good win, Jim, and we just...
Just one of the nights? So, like a Saturday, we've dominated now for a long time. So, just a good win Saturday?
I think the last time was a half a book, wasn't it?
Yep.
And the question was asked about Brian. Was it? And I think it's been answered...
Wrongly asked.
Well, on half a book, it was a farcical question. But now we ask the question. I'm not sure if the question was asked again.
Yes.
But if it was, they would say Friday, Saturday night, Sunday.
What, the lot? You mean everything?
The shooting
match. Gary, how haven't I heard about this? This is my wheelhouse. This is the stuff I need to hear about.
I think it was described as in typical modest Triple M fashion, they had a win.
Jim, well, the quote you gave last year about driving a Ferrari.
Yes, in a
go-kart. Was used in a paper,
used
wasn't
again,
it?
Yep, to describe what happened.
Well, Purple, this is what happened. Last year I said, after we had a comprehensive win, that it was like Triple M were driving a Ferrari in a go-kart race. And then the next survey that came out, one of the dead stations had a renaissance in one of the shifts, one of the four, had a slight lift. And then someone over there mentioned something about the Ferrari in the race. Having just heard what these figures have in this, a comprehensive smacking all four, I'm not even taking the cover off my Ferrari. I'm not even getting my mechanic to have a look at it, Purple. It ain't even worth it. It's not even worth turning the bloody engine over, Purple. This has become a farce, this race. We're driving around on our own.
Jim.
It's like you set up your scalectric track, put one car in it, and watch the bloody thing go round.
Jim.
What the hell's the go with that?
Humility, Jim. Humility, please.
I haven't got any.
Really?
No doubt.
I don't have any of that.
Seriously?
Scalectric track. One car.
I've got me one car on there, and I've got me remote, and it's just going... Ring, ring, ring. What the hell's the fun of that?
Chief, can you pull
something's
him, got pull to
chase
this
Purple at some stage. Someone. Get your track into, get your car into one of those little slots and see if you can get anywhere near it.
Right,
that's
right,
enough, Jim.
I'm moving on. I want to talk last night.
Yeah.
Because I was watching I have to say, Gary, I flow back in. Obviously, I'm watching the cricket and the footy. I'm trying to skip between
been away
the two.
For 2 weeks. Why would you catch up on the footy? Go and watch the cricket.
Well, I tell you, I had issues in Bali, by the way, and I'm going to bring them up Purple at some stage. Me AFL Live app.
Yep,
that bloody hell happens to that when you leave the country.
I couldn't get the access to areas.
I couldn't get the access.
What? That's your responsibility, Gaz, since you've joined the AFL app.
I thought you make this work, that stuff.
Well, we are international. I've got a big American audience. Big airman can watch it in America.
Yeah, of course he can. And Shane Kelly over there in Dublin or wherever
he
is.
Why can't you watch it?
Well, I just buggered if I know. And I wasn't on
forked
my
out
either.
Enough sheets for
I forked out full sheets.
No, you've never forked out full sheets.
That's exactly the reason. He didn't pay, he didn't get.
You've never paid full sheets ever.
Anyway, when we got halfway through that game on the Gold Coast, I was quite glad I didn't have the right access.
You're damn lucky you weren't watching.
Exactly, bloody right. But let me ask you this. Last night, I'm watching a bit of the footy and a bit of the cricket, so I didn't see enough of the game. I want to ask you, fine gentlemen, why was it that Collingwood couldn't get to the line or Port did?
No, Port did on the back of a fantastic start, an opening quarter. The rain bucketed down after half time, so it was always going to be hard to reel in any sort of a lead. They did a really admirable job. The Pies were honest like they have been all year, but the game was won in the first quarter, first half really, and it was on the back of a kid called Ollie Wines, who went head-to-head with the bloke I rate as one of the best, if not the best, midfielders in the comp in Scott Pendlebury, and smacked, well, that's what I said. They just went together, and he had 13 or 14 possessions, Ollie Wines, in the first quarter. He had seven in the blink of an eye, and when the whole footy world was watching to say, how is Port going to react? How are they going to handle the tragic circumstances? It was emotional. Kenny Hinckley said in his pre-game presser that, I don't know what's going to happen here. And it, so we all watched and thought, what's going to happen? It was this 20-year-old kid who said, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. And he just went bang and smashed his way in the middle of the ground, smashed his way to clearances, kept winning the footy and driving it forward. And in the blink of an eye, they're 28 to zip up, I think. I haven't got the book in front of me. But and from there, it was always going to be a pretty tough road home. So, as I said...
And the rain hit, yeah?
The rain hit at about just after half-time. Although, by that stage, Collingwood had worked their way back into the contest. But it was a terrific win. A really full of... backstories everywhere, but in terms of just pure footy, they took the game on, they were brave and bold, which they hadn't been for a long time, and there's a sort of a half a glimmer. They've got a half a faint glimmer.
Thought they were terrific, but must say I was disappointed in Collingwood. I mean, their previous couple of weeks, travelled to Perth, nearly got over Fremantle, should have beaten Hawthorn here a week ago, just couldn't kick straight. I thought their form line was strong. But when you look at their forward line, you've got Travis Cloak, Jesse White, Jamie Elliott, and Jared Blair kicked two goals between them.
Yeah.
That's just a non-functioning forward six. It gave them nothing.
It's a late change, which was strange.
It wasn't like for like, was
no.
it?
No. So,
Marley, I don't think it was as late as was announced.
No, they knew the day before. Yeah. But even so, I mean, we're all experts in hindsight. I mean, we're all across the weather. You know what's going to happen. And they Marley Williams, who's been maybe All-Australian, small defender, goes out. And Brody Grundy comes in.
Yep.
And so you got Grundy, White, Witts, Cloak, and it's coming down sideways after half time.
And Darcy Moore.
Who
they gave a very interesting role to following Justin Westhoff early. Westhoff's had 22 in the first half.
Yeah, Westhoff.
And was best on ground at half time.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Scary.
Chief, those three matches you mentioned, Fremantle, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide that Collingwood had lost to, you throw in the Richmond game earlier in the season, again by 5 points. We discussed it last week, Gaz, with Nathan Buckley. There's a lot of admirable losses now telling up on Collingwood. And the wins they've got, okay, and we keep saying they're down against the teams lower on the ladder. And every time they come up against a good team, they're not being found wanting, but they're not winning the game at the same time.
No, they might be where they're going to be, if you know what I mean, Warrior. They might not be quite ready to knock off a Freo or a Sydney or Hawthorn or West Coast.
But who did you tip, Gaz? I thought Collingwood were good things last night.
No, I tipped Port.
You tipped them?
Yeah, I did. Hunch.
From an emotional...
A bit hunchy.
Port started favourite, Chief.
I couldn't work out why.
Quite pronounced, or relatively pronounced.
Could have been some emotional money in that as well. But I don't know, I just didn't think Port could continue to be as bad as they were. And they just looked flat early, the Magpies. But what I'm saying to you, Warrior, is that, we also spoke about taking opportunity last Saturday with when Bristol was here, and he also made the point and said, well, maybe they're not ready. And we sort of said, well, you don't have to be ready. The door might open up for them. Well, maybe they're not ready. Maybe
but when you're losing games like last night, guys, that was gettable. It was winnable, as was the Hawthorn one. I mean, I know Rioli got them in a freakish circumstance, but Fremantle, it was gettable. And that Richmond game, they've all been gettable. If they split those two, I think they can talk themselves up as a premiership hope this year. But losing all four of them, they can't.
Yeah, and that's fine too. And I mean, we can talk about it all we want, but they haven't been able to win it. They're now, what are they now after the Collingwood are 8-6? So they go back in the ruck a bit to a certain degree, and maybe they've just got to be on the, well, they're on the edge. They play honest. That's what I like about them. They're pretty honest. They're very, very honest in actual fact, but they might not just be ready. They might not just be ready to challenge for that top four spot.
A big welcome to Star FM Warragul, if you don't mind.
Yes,
they might have just picked up on the fact that this is the most listened to football station ever.
No,
in the history of the comp.
That's Bagwana territory down in Warragul. So very nice to have Star FM on, and they'll have a listening experience tonight.
They must have read the papers, which would have been comprehensive during the week about the ratings
to
performance
Bill for the last 14 weeks. So they're going to get a shock.
Well, they've said, if it's rating that highly, I've got to have me a piece of it. So Star FM, welcome to you. Very nice to have you company. I need to be just. momentarily self-indulgent, Gary.
Well, you've got to what? You haven't been already?
No, that was on behalf of everyone. My young bloke, Jonathan, turns 21 today.
No way.
21 years of age. Can you believe that?
What'd you buy him, Jim?
Reptilian, he is.
What'd you buy him, a car?
He gets nothing. He's down at the beach at the moment. So what I did is I filled the fridge up for him.
Jim,
that was my gift.
Jim, get him a filled decent the fridge up. Car or something,
he
Jim.
Gets nothing.
It's 21, Jim, not 12.
Don't worry. You got a full fridge. That's all I gave him, Gary. On. Full fridge of vodka and acai, and that's it.
It's a big day in a young boy's man's life.
And so he doesn't want anything to do with any of his family.
Well done to you, Jono, down at Port Fairy.
He's gone down there with his mates.
Tear the joint to shreds.
He's going to tear it to shreds.
And text Dad what sort of car you want.
He won't be getting a car. He'll be getting none of that. And like it, by the way. Lots I need to discuss with you, Purple, because I've been away, as we know, and the news has been comprehensive. I see where Tommy Hawkins has re-signed for 5 years. Well, let's bang through a few of these, but yep, that's good news for the Cats.
Yeah, it was. It was arrived out a couple of weeks ago, Jim, where he agreed the terms, and it happened to be a five-year term. So
I'll just say Warrior had that ages ago, and then you keep going.
That's it. Beautiful.
He has re-signed there.
Mitch Clark, I want to...
Yeah, Mitch Clark, Jim, has had a setback, or maybe we say a complication with his calf. He has not played footy since round 9. There's now no return date for him in the eyes of Geelong, so... They just monitor that situation with him.
That's a big calf.
Yeah. It's a sizable issue with him with what's gone on there. Taylor Adams last night has... how would you know with what the match review panel decides to do on certain instances? But I would have thought, and I've looked back at it a few times today, in isolation to the game itself last night, with the kneeing of Westhoff last night, I reckon if the match review panel's serious, you could be looking at a 3-2 situation. But knowing them, they'll probably try and work backwards from it being a fine. But... Chief, Gaz, Jim, your views on it?
Yeah, no, it didn't look good. It's not that the look of the game tends to or seems to be a massive issue at the moment. It's sort of lost the plot for a moment. They obviously have been having a good go at each other, and there was almost a little bit of UFC style, sort of drop the knee on and then a little jumper to follow up with. So I wouldn't hazard a guess, but I would imagine. But mind you, last week I thought Trent Cotchin was in trouble. He's playing tonight, which is great because he's in good form. So I can't read him, but that's not what you want to be seeing.
I thought it looked worse than it actually was. And a lot of people are worried about how bad it looked. And so it'll be interesting to see whether they take that into account. But you kind of think he's probably going to be in trouble. But when you look at what the match review panel's done in recent weeks, how would you know?
You're almost allowed a free punch these days. If you don't, as long as it doesn't break something or... draw blood, then you're probably looking at a fine.
Well, for those who haven't seen it, the knee was hovering over Westhoff, who was on the ground looking up at Adams, and then, it makes contact on one occasion. That may have been accidental, Chief, but there was a moment late in the scuffle, wasn't there, where the knee just went right down. And again, Taylor's got some explaining to do, I would think, because it was a knee to the face. So on at least two occasions that we saw of, so he's got an issue to do. And Gaz, you were talking about what does look good and what doesn't look bad. The sling tackle was the major issue of last week. Yep. And by way of comparison, just to recap, Bryce Gibbs got 3-2 for what he did to Robbie Gray. And last week, Jay Schultz got none or no case to answer with what he did to Ted Richards. Ted Richards is out of the Swans team to play this weekend. So that's an issue too. And look, the Carlton Footy Club, the moment that decision came down during the week, Jim, Stephen Trigg was on the phone to Mark Evans, as was Andrew McKay, independently of Stephen Trigg.
Tuesday.
John Barker, publicly yesterday, I thought Gaz spoke really well about it. I mean, how does he coach his players now, given that he spent 2 weeks telling them what not to do on the back of the Gibbs situation, then has another body of evidence or another body of work to throw into the equation with the allowance for Jay Schultz?
So let me say this. Nathan Buckley confused as a coach. Paul Ruse confused as a coach.
You as a commentator.
John Barker, I'm confused. Last night I'm watching the game, and when Bristol gets here, we'll talk to him about it. Alex Fasolo slung tackle a player. I can't remember who it was. Might have been Need or one of those fellas, little blokes.
Yeah, it was Need, and he actually looked at the umpire for a free kick.
Was your classic sling tackle. Now, the difference being that he didn't hit his head on the ground. He was able to keep his head upright. But it was grabbed him, two motions, picked him and sort of slung him. Now, he didn't even get a free kick.
Yeah, but the thing that struck me is Need turned, he's got the ball under one arm and he's looking at the umpire for a free kick, didn't get it. How is it then not holding the ball?
Because the umpire, with due respect, is confused as well. Chief,
It had to be one or the other.
I mean, that was on Thursday, but by the time our Monday shows come around. But you look at it, you stack it up, and they're saying, you can't sling tackle, you can't sling tackle. Well, he slung tackle and didn't even have a free paid against him.
And then we thought it was all about the result. But now that that's been taken out of the equation, how do you possibly have any idea of what's going on?
No, they need, and Warrior spoke about this when Tuesday night, they need to legislate quickly and they need to do it in season.
Do you think that, do you?
I strongly think that because there
is... sling tackling you're talking about?
Yes. Jim, there is rampant confusion. And Ferris? I could go along this whole box. Swanee and Jackie Zeebel were on Tuesday night. They're two players. They're going, it's all right. Yeah, so we can cop that. And the rest of the world sort of going, well, what do you mean? They didn't condone it, but they sort of said, I think Swanee said, it's an acceptable risk, 180 tackles a game. You know, how often does it happen? But it's just... no one knows what's going on.
Well, tell us what they need to legislate along the lines of, Gus, just to make it easy for them, because they don't do it often within season.
Well, it almost needs... We were able to, with the head over the footy or bumping, start to say, okay, you can still bump, but if you make contact to the head in a forceful manner, you are going to be held accountable. So it's almost to the point where you can say, no, you can still tackle, you can still lock someone's arms, but if you, as a result of your tackling motion, end up causing damage to the head, then in the same way you're going to be held accountable.
Well, the thing that interests me, Chief, is the result driving the suspension. Yep. We always talk about this, and I don't get it. I'd love Mark Evans to be in this conversation, actually, because what that says to me is that you can stand out on a field toe-to-toe and punch someone in the head, and if you don't break his jaw, it's 4 weeks down to 3. If you do break his jaw, it's 10.
No, but
the act
him.
Is exactly the same.
But I've got to jump in. You were away. So Schultz tackles Ted Richards, locks his arms up. He hits his head. He's knocked out, cold, out of the game.
Well, how does he get off? Well,
not we playing this week.
That's, we don't know.
There's the problem, Jim.
Yeah, well, this is the confusion is around that.
Well, but it's not about the... Well, if I'm understanding it correctly, it's not about the outcome of the tackle because they both got knocked off, both got knocked out, both got carted off the ground, yet one's held to account for 2 weeks and the other one's played last night.
And has there been any commentary from the AFL around
They said that it wasn't...
Well, it wasn't deemed to be dangerous and it wasn't deemed to be...
two actions.
What was the other word? Too strenuous or something along those lines. But it was splitting hairs.
So the Blues were right to be up in arms.
100%, Jim. Yeah, because the outcome or the finding they had on Schultz could have been the finding they had on Gibbs. Yep. Yet they chose to do a certain thing with Gibbs and then chose 2 weeks later to have a different outlook on it. Now, again, Luke Ball will say that he's only operating under the guidelines and Mark Evans will say the same and Mark Evans will say he's going to review it. I'm with Gary. I think it needs to be actually done this week, not let it go any longer. They are reviewing it. Look, they had no problems in introducing the changes to the head-high situations, and I'm with Gary strongly on this. It needs to be instituted before round 16.
It's interesting just what you were saying before, Jim. You threw up the debate about whether you penalise the action opposed to penalising the result. I've got to be honest, and I'm probably different to most people. I would like to see the action penalised, but I think there also needs to be the facility to add on, depending upon what type of incident it was.
Yep. A loading the result.
Correct. Because if you punch a bloke and break his jaw, you shouldn't be back playing before that bloke has the opportunity to come back. Right. But if you punch a bloke and you get 2 weeks and he's playing next week, that's fine. But if you break his jaw and he's out for 6, well, then you should be copping 4 to 6, I think. That's just the way I see it.
BT not far away to call the action because the Big Duke's just extended his holiday up there in Bali, a bit of volcanic ash. He can't get out, Purple.
Well, you did.
Oh, no, this is the same question I'll be asking the big man when I see him.
So why couldn't he get out?
Well, I don't know.
The people who have made it and made us have a good rating survey, the pack that grow exponentially every single time I pick it up.
Wolf Pack.
Keith Burles, Scale Electrics, hashtag.
Yes.
One carrier.
Jeff Miles says, yeah, I told you this, didn't I? The AFL Live Pass only works in Australia. Needed to get the Watch AFL Global
Watch
Pass.
How do I know that, Gary? I pay my money.
Justin
Bird. You don't pay anything.
I pay my money,
the
Chief.
The Bird Star says, Jim's back. Surely the human javelin could have been loaded into a medieval-style catapult and fired across the ocean.
I like that. So, absolutely he could have.
There's not a hell of a lot of love. Catherine, you mean Duke doesn't have his own chopper to get himself out of the Bali.
Oh, yes. They've come for the Duke.
Trav Coote says the international cool breeze brought his best stuff last week and Duke's been justifiably dropped. I think there's a bit in that, to be perfectly honest. I think Duke might be at home in Hawthorn.
Oh, no.
So they're all come through, but they've enjoyed the ratings, and that's great, and we thank them for their ongoing support. Josh Hanrahan at Triple M Footy, streaming through at Star FM Gippsland, and it's bloody sensational.
Star
so lovely
FM
to have
Gippsland.
You, Josh.
Was that who we mentioned before? That was your Warrigal?
Warrigal.
Yep. Oh, perfect. No changes, by the way. I said that before. Lambert and Tut are the subs for tonight's game. Speaking of subs, Chief. Yeah, we understand. And again, Purple had this on the Footy Show a couple of weeks ago. No more come the end of the year. If that is the case, are you happy with this?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a great surprise to anyone. I think the clubs wanted to go back to just having four on the bench, didn't they?
Do you think it's done, Chief? By way of a finding on the AFL?
I'd be surprised if that wasn't in place by the start of next season.
I haven't heard one dissenting voice.
No, there's
not. Clubland, anyway.
No,
that's got to tell you something, hasn't it?
Well, it's the AFL Commission who are driving it and drove it initially. Is the trade-off, though, a reduction from 120 down to as few as 80
rotations?
Well,
that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
And what impact will that have were that to happen, do you blokes think? If we came back from 120 interchange to as low as 80 or even 100?
No, I wouldn't have 80.
What would you have?
100. I think I said 110 once and you blokes laughed at me.
Well, the coaches would trade off, as far as I can tell, and this was discussed, Jim, at the dinner that I had with Gillon McLachlan about 2.5 weeks ago. Out of that, I got the feeling they'd probably trade off for 100 if they had to, but not 80.
They wouldn't want to go lower.
And even then, they'd rather keep it at 120. But I reckon that there has to be a trade-off in some way because the AFL will need to be seen to be getting some win out of it, and that will be enough, I would think, to have the coaches sign off on that, if indeed they were asked for their final say.
All right, so we come back to 100, not as relevant for you two as forwards who are really the only players left on the ground who don't seem to come off, and the big defenders, everyone else rolls through. What impact are you going to have on everyone here tonight watching this game next year with only 100 interchange?
Look, the game eventually works its way out of these first half sort of malaise or the whole big group, and as the game they get a bit weary, it tends to open up, and it's probably going to happen earlier. Then if that's what the AFL want, then halfway through the second quarter, you probably, as opposed to early in the third where the game starts to open up a bit, Jim, I would imagine.
Was that a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no vested interest, only as someone that goes and watches, then I'd much rather see something that's a bit more open rather than the 18 to 36 players all converging into a quarter of the ground.
Be interesting to see what impact it has on injuries as well, whether it affects it one way or the other, whether there's more fatigue-style injuries, soft tissue, I don't know.
No, because what you're seeing now, what we're getting a proliferation of is this, it's almost a hark back to when Clarko had his full press being played. And it's all his disciples that have come into the game and are now coaching their own teams who are putting the same things in place that are making it such a congested. Lukey Beveridge is playing full ground, zone press. Adam Simpson is absolutely playing it. Alan Richardson's adopting it. So you're seeing this frenetic pressure and all full ground. And that's great where you can keep up you've got your tank to be able to keep that sort of high pressure, high impact game up. But if you lose a few, then maybe clubs are going to be able to work their way through a little bit easier. And I think the scores are down historically per game this year. So all that sort of stuff might open up to seeing a few more goals.
And it may mean that the backs and forwards keep their structure a bit better as well, so that they're not covering as much ground, so that they can stay out there and save your rotations for the midfielders and the runners.
And that is
that'd be great
joy if that happened.
You've been calling out for that for ages, both of you. Chief, the increase in numbers on stoppages, both out of bounds and just around the ground, can you tell us why? Just tell the layman why that's happening this year.
No, it's very interesting. I saw the figures in the paper today, and over the last 10 years, they've tended to go through the roof. I don't notice it as much as others do, but I think the fact that we are getting, that Gaz was talking about before, these full-court presses, if you like, there's no easy escape for the footy. And most teams now, if they get caught, they're happy just to, rather than get it out and not necessarily do a team out, they'll just hang on to it and have a stoppage. And it works a lot better. And then you reset and then you try and gain the ascendancy that way. So I'm not sure there's an easy solution to the stoppages.
They're normally the quickest and best, most efficient way out is back through the middle of the ground and away you go. But as I said, they've got 16 to 18 players are all squeezed up. So they go conservative down the line and bang, goes out of bounds and they start again.
You've also got a lot of coaching staff, Gaz, who send an extra up and sometimes two extras up.
Of course, yeah.
So you got all these numbers around what used to be pretty clean stoppages of 4-on-4 or 6-on-6 even.
Yeah, no, and that's... Isn't that a roll of dice? I would have even said last night when the game was there to be won for Collingwood that they, I thought, just from a Landry, persisted too long with an extra at the stoppage, which allowed
Broadbent
to sit back and take mark after mark, which, you know, we watched Melbourne play Collingwood out here and Oxley just took the game away from Melbourne in a similar vein. So that is a real roll of the dice.
Standoff now, Gaz, Jim and Chief over the Harley Bunnell situation on the Gold Coast. Publication of a photo, as we know, 2 weeks ago of an incident from 2013. Didn't play last week. Now not playing again this week. Rodney Eade today, coach of the Suns, was saying that it's unknown as to when he comes back. Now, that is in conflict with what the AFL Players Association
Who's
wants.
Who's the standoff between?
Between the Players Association and the club.
And
you can say
team,
club slash player.
Who picks the team?
The club does.
Yeah, and the coaching panel.
Yeah, but you've also got drugs policy chief, which,
understand
which
that.
Is not...
But the Players Association can't demand a player get reinstated. But, okay. I mean, how do you possibly pick Harley Bennell after the way they played last week? They were outstanding, that group.
Oh, but he's in their best
I know he is, but what message does it send if you drop him to make the example?
He was not playing this
week
regardless.
Players, the other players respond brilliantly and play superbly, and then he just walks back in.
Well, I guess to the question, why is he dropped? Why is he not playing?
Bringing the game into disrepute.
Has he done that?
Well, I think it's a fair... I think it's
Do you think he's done that?
I think he's gone a fair way down the track to it.
Well, the AFL should charge him under that Rule 1.6,
well,
which
they
were throwing around willy-nilly three or four years ago.
Why don't they?
Do you think they should on Rule 1.6?
Well,
has he brought it into disrepute any more than any of his teammates who have covered and carried on with the same practice of drug taking?
You want to go down that path? Has he brought it into disrepute any more than players at all 18 clubs, Damon?
Well, I think the Gold Coast Suns' behaviours and habits are well established and well known and were turned a blind eye to by the AFL.
And maybe if the West Coast Eagles had taken a harder line on their man earlier, they wouldn't have the problems that they had down the track.
So you got no issue with Harley Bernal not playing?
No.
On the back of the publication of that photo from 2013, behaviour which the club was aware of?
No, and he's also been a recidivist, not in that...
But that's the reason he's not playing now.
Yeah, well... I don't mind about tough love, though, mate. Right, tough love right now, four to 6 weeks for Harley Bennell might save his life. May stop us from talking about him in the same way that we talk about Ben Cousins or Daniel Kerr or any of the others who have gone down a really unfortunate or the wrong path. And it's only a game. It's only a game of footy. I mean, in the overall scheme of his life, if he has to sit out 4 to 6 weeks and have a real good hard think about where he's at, then that might be the best 4 to 6 weeks that he's ever misses, ever.
Club chose not to look at all deeply into what went on in the off-season.
I think clubs are grappling with this like everyone is grappling with it. And I'd err on the side of tough love as opposed to not.
What are you looking at to me in a stupid fashion for,
the
please?
The conspiracy theory is growing about Duke.
Well, yes.
Been spotted at Glenfrey Gourmet Meats.
Oh,
that's I've heard. He's been spotted
shameless.
There.
That is
grabbed himself an eye fillet, and I believe he's in his Hawthorn home.
That is a shameless wedging.
He's been dropped.
That's you've been there too now,
crowbar.
Jim.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
And, but handed over full wedge.
And as I do always, on my heart,
yeah.
I do.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't believe it. I think he's in Bali, Duke.
Yes.
But there is the theory that's abounding that he may have been dropped for this week. And he's actually at his Hawthorn house.
Well, on the back of that, it's probably opportune, Chief, that we roll the sting. Let's go.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Don't try and lead me into Duke, Jim.
I hope he's already there.
Don't try and lead me in. First and foremost, I don't know if anyone caught the State of Origin Wednesday
yes.
night.
Yes.
52-6.
Jeez.
Yeah.
A record score, a record margin to Paul Gallen and all the New South Wales players. That is the quintessential ship the hell off. And I loved it, Jim.
As a true Queenslander.
So they can ship! right.
Yes.
Cam Smith was exceptional in that. And while we're on the State of Origin, I think the show 60 Minutes needs to be given a right royal ship off for the hatchet job they did on Cam Smith. If you, most people would be aware of the story, I'm sure, but the fact that they edited the audio and the vision that they actually showed to Alex MacKinnon and then got his response to it to fashion up a story that painted Cam Smith in a bad light is absolutely horrendous. They edited out the quote where Cam Smith said, "It's unfortunate and I don't want to see that happen any time in our game." And they made him think that he was arguing about the decision while he was being treated on the ground, and he never even spoke to the referee until Alex MacKinnon had actually been taken from the ground. But it was just a hatchet job, Jim, and your network should be ashamed of that, I would have thought.
I'm waiting. This is all serious. In all seriousness.
He had no right of reply, no response.
I'm about to speak, Jim.
It's my segment.
I know that. But
it's my segment.
On this topic, I'm weighing in. I will wait with great interest on Sunday to see how that is handled.
Yes.
That's all I'll say.
Yes. Do you think there'll be an apology?
Do you know something?
What's that? No, nothing. No, but I'm being as diplomatic as I can be because I didn't like it.
And Chief, because Cam Smith was supposedly going to speak today on Fox Sports and then, I believe, chose not to as well. So I'm keen to see what he...
Put him under a bit of stress, I imagine, but played an absolutely superb game. Now, we spoke about it off the top of the show tonight. We had an exceptional game here last Friday night.
Yep.
And we were super complimentary of the job that Brian Taylor and Wayne Schwartz did, calling the action superbly. Obviously, played second fiddle to the Wolf and I, but the overall product last Friday night was outstanding.
True.
We got to the stage where we thought we actually don't need JB and Javelin Head. So, you know what?
Yep.
The front row can chip off.
Yes! Chief. That's your best.
Have you not got your head around the ratings? They've been provided by the front row.
You at least made it back. But your mate... with the head that has no wit. I mean, I'll tell you right now, his head is a straight line. It's just got a couple of eyes and ears hanging, dangling off the straight line. It's the skinniest head I've ever seen in the world. He needs to stay buried in ash wherever he is. Chip off dust! And you too, Jim. Now, while I'm on...
Yeah, I told you he's in form.
JB... and Das, you're as much a part of this as well. And the Triple M football bosses, I'm not mentioning any names, but the godfather of Rock Lee, Simon.
Yes.
There is supposed to be an allocation of parking tickets underneath here.
Yes.
Yep.
You get one every time.
Mm-hmm. And only
the Duke gets one every time.
He shouldn't get
the
one.
Wolf
the Wolf
I can cop because he has had debilitating back injuries for a number of years and shouldn't be made to walk long distances.
He doesn't like people.
Jim, you are the leader. You need to promote fairness and equity in everything we do. But this sort of leadership, no wonder North's going like busted. Because you have been shit out.
Chief, right. How can I get a double ship?
And to Uncle Lee Simon, you ship hell off. You remember the World Cup of cricket when Herschel Gibbs dropped Steve Waugh and Steve Waugh said, "You've just dropped the World Cup."
Yep.
Brad Haddin just dropped the first test, so he can ship it.
Oh, no.
The one-hander?
Trying to take a one-hander when he didn't need one hand. He could have taken it with two.
Joe Root was
and
only
dropping
on
a bloke on Nort that made 140, Jim. Yes. Dropped the first test. Hads, ship.
I wouldn't give up on the game.
Ship, Hads.
Evenly poised, Chief.
Just a little drive-by.
2 days.
It was good ratings. All the other stations can ship off. And we don't tend to go into politics, so I'll leave Billboard
crikey.
Bill. Billboard head Bill. I'll leave him out of it. I think that's just about it.
Well, that's your best.
But I got two whacks on you, didn't I, Jim?
I got two.
Billboard head Bill.
Within the one ship off.
I like when you get political.
He's got a feature tomorrow, Bill. Poor.
He's going no good.
Okay.
No, he hasn't had a great
political.
Couple of days.
That's Jim's domain.
No, I like it. Also, Alistair Cook copped one of the greatest balls to the kegs I've ever seen on a cricket field. Unprotected kegs.
Went down like a squid.
He did. Well, he
stayed off for 45 minutes.
To be fair to him, he boxed on for about 8 balls and then just realised he couldn't go any further and off he wandered. I'm telling you, for those of you who didn't see it, it was an under edge that came towards him and landed, Chief, a metre in front?
Yep,
at first slip.
Awkward bounce. So he was falling and trying to knock the ball forward, which you do in that situation, but he missed the ball entirely.
But when you look at the vision, his pills must hang to the left because it was a little high on the left thigh, so he must have had a little bit
So what it must have done is forced the pill into his leg.
Compressed the left nari straight
at
onto his thigh.
140 Ks.
Like a pancake.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was purple. It was one of those ones where you're watching it, you're just giving it the,
like a nari crusher.
Like Ben Stiller's nari in Something About Mary.
That's exactly
it. Caught it in the zip. That's how it ended
and
up.
And Joe Root pissed himself.
He couldn't stop laughing. He was the first there and he said, "Are you okay?" in between laughs.
Brian Taylor's been good enough to join us on a Friday night. Hello, Bristle.
Hello, JB and everyone.
Oh, now you're fresh in from Adelaide, a hard-working man, Brian.
Yes, just jumped in this morning, so it was all good.
Hard-working, because you're not here, yep. And he steps in and rips at the shreds.
Well, we know that.
I thought I was hard-working until I was on the way in here tonight, and at about 3 minutes past six, yes. I heard you open the show, and I heard Gary say, and Chief, you should have taken note of that. He did it all himself, Gary, according to Gary.
That's true. I didn't say that.
Did the whole lot himself.
Chief said that.
When JB was away.
Yeah, he was the host. And led from the front and brought the best out of everyone else.
Exactly right.
Let's just have a little listen.
No, the Blues and the back. Tigers Friday night. Shut up, Gary.
I'm excited.
Not only am I here, I'm excited.
Thought I was going to do it all again.
Blues and the Tigers.
Do it all again, Michelle.
And then he's referring to hosting, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I thought I did a little bit.
When I host, Brian, I don't pick and choose, champ. And I do all the reads. Whatever they put in front of me, I do.
And then he follows that up with, if he hasn't backed over it enough, he says, JB, bad news tonight. Bad news tonight. Yep. BT's coming on.
Oh, no. Is that what you said?
Left it blank.
No, he said Duke is going to be here tonight, and I'm going to say bad news for you. Duke's not coming. Good news for us is the Bristol's back.
Open for interpretation.
Do you want to play that game?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Brian.
One good book for Bristol. He's come back pretty strong.
I like it, Bristol.
By the way, when are the ratings out?
I like it.
Are they out yet?
Because... questions were asked earlier in the year. As far as I'm concerned, they've been comprehensively answered, Brian.
Who asked that question, Brian? And don't say you don't know either, because you've had his picture stuck up on your wall in his shed since then, and you're waiting for his response.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, let's hope there'll be a response, Brian.
Why have you got Scott Gallen's photo on your book with a big dart?
Well, he is one that is on the hate list. That is for sure. He's to be exterminated before I am finished on this earth.
He's one of the good ones, BT.
Is he?
Yeah, he's one of the good ones.
Well, we might just get him, just take a bit of breath away.
Bristle, I'm loving the fact that you're back and the swagger is there and it's absolutely magnificent. Hey, Mark Howard's been good enough to join us down on the boundary for the first time tonight. Howie, welcome to you, and you've got a very happy man with you, I'm sure.
I do indeed. Good evening, everyone. Very windy and cold night at the MCG. Our next guest down from the Gold Coast, he's got 15 coats on. This man played 140 games for Essendon, 60 for Sydney, 200 games in total. His name is Neville Fields, but just as importantly, his son, as a 22-year-old, is making his debut for the Carlton Footy Club tonight. G'day, Nev. What a wonderful night. You've got family members, cousins, brothers, sisters, mums and dads. You must be extremely proud.
Mate, there's probably not a more proud guy on this planet tonight than me. And, yes, it's lovely to have the family here. And fingers crossed it's going to be a good night.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the journey of the young bloke, because he's a 22-year-old. He's done a lot of hard yards to get here, as well as booting 80-metre barrels in the last couple of weeks in the VFL, which has made him a media star before he started his first game.
Yeah, he's certainly done it the hard way. He grew up on the Gold Coast, played all his junior footy there, then had one season of senior footy with Labrador. Played Queensland 18s, nominated for the under 18 draft, got overlooked the next year, and he decided to take himself to South Australia. To play in the Sandfall. No family, no friends. It was just something I couldn't have done when I was 20. But best thing he ever did, I think. He's matured a hell of a lot. And he had a really good year last year. And Carlton saw enough in what he was doing to give him an opportunity on the rookie list. And here we are tonight. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful.
So, Neville, what words of wisdom have you imparted upon him in anticipation of the debut tonight?
Oh, it's been a fairly constant message for a few years. The harder you work, the luckier you get. And I've been saying that to him for a couple of years now. And
no sex
before the game. So,
yeah. Where did that come from?
That's Joe Stuckey's voice I can hear in the background. And she wouldn't know about that, Joe.
Not at all, Gav.
What's that?
That is the Joe Stuckey.
Joe's standing here beside us. She's heavily involved in this family.
Now, Nifty, you're a very smooth operator yourself, silky skills, and you had all the tricks in the bag. Were you expecting to see a similar outcome from the young fella tonight, or is he a bit more of a worker?
Well, I'm hoping he's a harder worker than his old man. Let's start with that. But I think we all know, and we've come to appreciate now, he is a beautiful kicker of football. And I just hope he gets an opportunity today to tonight to show you guys and the rest of the people here tonight that how good a kick he is. But look, fingers crossed. He just really enjoys it and comes off with his head held high. That's all I can ask. Yeah.
Nev, has he always been a prodigious kick of the ball? Because as Howie said, we've seen some vision of the VFL and he consistently lobs it into the centre circle. Yeah. Has he always been that big a kick? And what sort of distances can he get to?
These torpedoes have come out of sort of nowhere. I certainly never encouraged him to kick torpedoes, but obviously the coach has given him a licence to do it. I've watched a lot of his, a hell of a lot of his football. He's a beautiful left foot kick drop punts mainly, coming out of the halfback line, and he can hit them 60 metres, lace out and that sort of thing. But that's at that level. He's got to try and adjust to the next level, which is huge, as we all know. And he's this torpedo business that's come from nowhere. I don't know where it's come from. They tell me Sev Rocket. Sev Rock is the kicking coach down at Carlton. Whether Sev's had something to do with it, I'm not sure. But he certainly can kick a footy, yeah.
Neville, the nerves, how do you go with them watching?
Much easier playing, mate, than being a parent watching, I can assure you. No, I'm very nervous, very apprehensive. But in a funny sort of way, very confident that he's going to acquit himself well.
Yeah. Who else have you brought along with you to watch the game tonight, Nev?
My oldest son is here, and my sister, her husband, and they've got three kids, and Joe's married to, Joe's standing right next door, and God love her, she's married to my sister's second boy.
Right.
And, the whole family...
Got a crew.
It's all here, mate. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if the Blues ever win tonight, big Tim and Joe Stuckey take you under your arm, Nev, you might get home for 2 days.
Well, the plane's not booked to go home till Monday, so we might... it could be interesting. Yeah.
Get her to dust off one of the villas.
staying at Shea Stuckey.
Oh, really?
Better, much better.
Oh, no doubt it's better, but if a big win, Gary, you can just drift up in your individual lift and all hell breaks loose up there, Nev. Don't worry. Hey, great to speak to you, and with all seriousness, good luck. What a wonderful day for you and your family, and we wish the young bloke well.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it greatly. Thank you.
Neville Fields.
Tour of play was Nev.
He was a gun.
He went to Sydney, didn't he, or was the Swans?
Yeah,
South Melbourne?
And did his best work at Essendon, of course, but was just he was alluding to the fact that his son was a beautiful kick of the footy. He was a beautiful kick of the football. Magnificently balanced players. Yeah. One of those guys you're jealous of.
I vaguely remember him.
Very, very impressive. And he's a 6'3", he's taller than you think. Played on the wing a lot, halfback.
Well, I hope he does launch one tonight, the young fella. That'll get his confidence up and away.
Well, gee, I'm telling you what I'm doing here, Gary. He's looking past you to the back of the room and the very impressive frame of Big Yvonne.
Have a look at him.
Wow. Have a go at the setup here.
I think he wanted a week off just to come up and say good day to us.
He brings a heavy load into any room he wanders into, Yvonne. He's just impressive. Gary, as part of the Triple M load, we have footballers that we enjoy, and then we have open favourites.
That's it.
Ones that we just enjoy more than we do the others.
Unashamedly.
And that's not being mean to the others because they're doing their best. There are about 10 that are in a different category. This man's one of them. Big Yvonne Marich, of course, played for Adelaide, did a great job of that, and then came over and became a cult figure at Punt Road with a nice big moulet and a very angry assault on the footy. He's not playing tonight, he's in here. Hello, Ivan. Nice to see you, mate.
Yvonne.
Why aren't you playing?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Jim, let me jump in.
Where have you been, Jim?
Jim's been in Bali.
I've been in Bali.
Volcanic ash has got to.
I've been in Bali.
He's been in Bali. Don't know what's going on.
I've got no idea. Did you pump, did you belt
someone? Out here last week, Jim, while you were sunning yourself, we were calling the game, and Big Yvonne went up in a ruck contest. Out the corner of his eye, saw this Nipsey coming in as the third man up and thought, I'll just shove you aside and got him a bit high.
A little clumsy. That's
why is he missing?
As a result of the high contact.
Stiff.
It was pretty heavy.
I think it was a bit of lack of self-discipline. So I'll probably, looking at it, I'll probably deserve...
So you club someone?
Yeah.
Right. That's all I was after, Brian. I've been away.
Paint the picture. Dean Cox style last year.
No, it wasn't. I reckon when the verdict came down and they offered you a week, you would have gone at that pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I was sort of... I think my second time I was reported, so I don't really have much experience with the whole system. But, yeah, I think looking at the vision, it's probably fair. Yeah.
It was a third man up situation. So you had your opposing ruckman on your left, and out of the corner of your eye, I can't remember who the player was. Jack Steele came in as a third man up. So this has become a massive part of footy right now. So what are you doing to try and combat that and try and be clear in your own mind who you are competing against? And are you screaming at your boys around you, your Richmond boys, to say, now listen, arm across, I don't want blokes putting knees in my back as a third man up?
Yeah, that's right. It's become a big part of footy, like you said, Gary. And I think I've sort of become pretty aware of who's coming at me. And I think the times when I get frustrated is when my opposition ruckman is just clearly just holding me out and not going for the ball. If everyone's going for the ball, I've got no problem with that, and I think that's the way the game should play. Everyone just go for the ball. So it's tough for the umpires as well, because like you said, it's new, it's something new, and they'll only get better with it and with each week.
Your relationship with umpires is critical to this. So are you constantly talking to them, and you're talking to them in a strong, direct manner, or are you doing it in a conciliatory tone?
Well, I've learnt over the years that yelling at people and umpires doesn't really get you anywhere. So I try to have really nice conversations with the umpires, and I like people to speak that's the same way to me. So
take that on board, Brian.
Very nice.
Now, Ivan, what was the trigger for the Tigers? I mean, up until a month ago, they were making everyone pull their hair out, wondering whether they're going to be the real deal or not. Then you go to Freo, you have a great win. You drop that one to West Coast, but we know they're a good team. You go to Sydney, you beat Sydney. I mean, the form is supreme. What made you turn the corner?
Yeah, the corner was turned probably last year. But we just had a few hiccups against Melbourne and Western Bulldogs. Maybe we didn't respect them enough, and we got what we deserved. So we learn a lot from that, and since then we've sort of always just focused on continuous improvement and just playing a hard, tough, disciplined brand of football.
I think you've won 17 of your last 22 home and away games. I think it's somewhere about there. Yep. You're very quietly spoken sort of operator, Ivan. You'd like to sort of just ease into it?
I sort of touched on it before about speaking to people nicely.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I want to speak to you guys nicely.
Right.
Go on. No. Oh, I was going to say, it's about respect, Brian.
Yes.
Right. Respecting not only you as a broadcaster and an elite operator.
That's good.
There's vision of Ivan cleaning up after a game of footy, which I think is one of the best pieces of vision I've seen. This is serious.
Cleaning up the rooms.
Yeah, the game's over. He's just played in the ruck the whole game. And this is well after everyone's gone. There's Ivan walking around picking up tape.
Come on,
Ivan.
There's putting someone it in there to the do bin. That.
This is true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Tell us why.
Well, I can't take all the credit for it, because one of the things that we focused on as leaders when we turned the corner last year was about respect. And we wanted to do the jobs that everyone else can do, and that's like cleaning up the rooms or on the footy field, just chasing back your opposition, your opponent, sorry. So we actually got it from the All Blacks about just sweeping the sheds. And
you listening, Jim?
Brian,
are you listening, Jim?
I'll bring you out the farm for a day.
Leadership we're talking about. Leadership. Jim, are you listening?
I love that.
A scoreboard tells you plenty, Chief.
I love that story.
It is a nice story.
And a great story.
And it's real.
It's not so much about the act, but if the players just are flinging their tape everywhere, someone's going to have to pick it up and put it in the bin, Brian. Mm. And to have the big fella here after a game do it, I'm not sure you would have done it back in your day.
It's like Chew Man here at the end of the day, just to walk away and he's in a pile of paper and no one seems to worry about him. He gets lost. And, Chief, sorry.
No, that's where Jim should be showing more leadership, I think.
Ivan, you've been doing some work down at the Calder Cannons in the TOC Cup the last 2 years. You haven't been doing it this year? A little bit busy?
Yeah, I've been busy. I've sort of taken on a role at the St Albans Saints Soccer Club.
Oh, so, that's right. You're the chairman or the president?
Yeah, the president there on the committee. So I actually wouldn't mind doing some work experience with someone down the track. So maybe James, I don't know if you're
no problem.
He doesn't work, Ivan. Shadowing you.
No, very
for
welcome.
A week or something. Yeah.
So, what did the St Albans Soccer Club mean to you? Like, you must have there's obviously a connection.
Yeah, there is. There's a what very, is very strong connection. My father was part of, there's about 15 or 16 men that started the club 40 years ago this year. So it's an important year for the club. And I grew up there, so Dad used to take me down there And I suppose, I don't know if your fathers took you down to a sporting club growing up. So absolutely. I've got that, yeah, really emotional, strong connection. So
with just getting back to who you'd want to do work experience with for a week.
I think he was having a chipper, Jim, which I
like. Yeah. If you had to pick
to Bali,
one person at Bok, whether it's Chief down at Hawthorn and Damo in the world of news, footy news, or JB as a chairman and a media operator, Gary as the number one man in town.
Myself
out in the farm. Who would you go with there, Ivan?
It's too hard to say.
Or Chua out at Point Cook?
Listen, Brian.
Too respectful.
I'm telling you right now, Big Ivan, you and I go back a very long way. Yeah. And I wouldn't want to be hearing any piss taken. And secondly,
what are you going to feel bad?
That is an example of leadership right there. What's just arrived for you?
Luke got me a drink.
Luke had nothing to do with
it. Nor did you. You had nothing to do with that.
Go and ask Greg who brought it in where it
came
from.
I would like you to do something like Ivan has done. So when we finish tonight, how about you clean up the commentary box?
What do you think, Ivan? Would you mind coming back and overseeing Jim cleaning the commentary box?
I'll actually come back and help.
If we did a survey of the gorillas in here as to who has done the most for nothing over the last decade, I'm that far in front, it doesn't matter.
Chief second.
You are last.
What? Jane Warne Foundation runs itself.
Well, how long ago did you get off that? Well,
after 9 years on the board. Anyway, it's not about pumping ourselves up. That side volley goal that you kicked, you wouldn't want to miss that and gone down to the old soccer club.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tap-in, wasn't it?
Beautiful. I think.
Yeah, it was good that it
happened. Did you play?
Not really allowed to, but I had a kick around yesterday, actually, down at East Keele on the synthetic pitch down there with a couple of mates from school, which was pretty fun. But, yeah, other than that, don't really get a chance to.
And some big soccer clubs coming out here next week, too, the biggest in the world.
Yes. Man City.
Get along and have a look at some of them, Roma and Man City and Real, I think at Madrid are here as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I've heard a little whisper that AS Roma are going to visit Punt Road, so that'll be good. Get to meet a few guys, so...
Well, that'd make on the world stage. Cam Newton was down there where Big Brian sort of dagged around him.
How did he go?
Days.
Was he all right, Cam Newton?
He was really...
what a gentleman, eh?
He spent a bit of time in our leadership meeting, which was good. And to hear someone that's earned, you know, got all the money in the world and just talk about team and how important attitude, effort and preparation were. Those three things. He spoke about those three things a lot. And when you have 22 guys doing that, it's really dangerous. So it was great to hear it and confirm it again.
Hey, Ivan, I know you've got great mates at the Adelaide Footy Club, so your heart must be out to them. And how have you gone with all of that, with all your boys?
I mean, I've been thinking about them every day, but and how they're feeling. But I don't know what to say to them, you know. What can I say to make them feel better or make the situation any better? But, just sent a text message and, maybe offer some support in that way. So it's hard. It's a tough situation.
That's all you can do, mate. Yeah. And there's no right or wrong in any of those situations. Sean Hansen's going to have to shoulder the rucking duties with your absence. You're saying his form's been pretty good in the VFL?
Yeah, he's been good form, and he's had a really, really good pre-season. Done a heap of extra stuff and on his aerial contest work and that sort of stuff. So we've got a lot of confidence in him to play his role and execute it, and I think he's sort of looking forward to it, playing against the old side.
Ivan, the AFL needs some help on a few areas. The third man up, apart from speaking nicely to umpires, is there something they can do by way of legislation just to make it very clear for not just yourself as a ruckman, but the people watching the game?
Oh, I don't know. It's a really hard question to answer because you used a lot of big words there. But, I think... What I sort of said before was it's new and it's a bit of a trend that's happening now.
What would you like to see happen, though, just to fix it?
Yeah, I think I just want the two rucks to be able to go at the ball and not one ruckman holding the other one down and not going for the ball. So as long as it's the same in the centre bounce, if both rucks are jumping at the ball, I'm wrapped with that. And that's how I want to play, and that's how I've always wanted to play. So
why don't we do that, Ivan? You're not allowed a third up in the centre bounce, so why are they allowed around the ground? Why don't you just leave it to the two ruckmen?
Yeah, that would be a great thing. Maybe they should look at doing that. I'd be really happy with that.
Easiest way to fix it.
Yeah, for me, I'd be wrapped with that. So if they do that, maybe I'll have some nice conversations and try and get them on the line.
Just the other issue of the moment is the sling tackle situation. A lot of players are now confused, with good reason, given the discrepancy in decisions made. Your take, do you know what you can and can't do when it comes to that matter?
Yeah, well, I know for a long time now I've been told that I'm not allowed to sling guys into the ground because it's dangerous, and I wouldn't want someone doing it to me, so I wouldn't do it to anyone else. I think tackling has changed a lot. I've been taught a lot of my career about going at the hips, but I think now it's all about locking an arm down and making sure that the opposition can't get a handball out. So
of those two decisions, the Gibbs one who got 3 weeks down to two and the Schultz who got cleared, what do you want to be the outcome?
Do
you want a suspension or do you want the players to play?
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to answer that question because I'll get in trouble.
No, you won't. I mean, you're just talking philosophically. Yeah. I'm not trying to get you into trouble, but do you think the players need to be protected as Gray was in this circumstance with Gibbs?
Yeah, I think it's so important that players get protected because you look at the young man in the NRL that tragic thing that happened with him and his neck and that sort of thing. So, yeah, look, player welfare is huge. It's off the field as well. It's a huge issue, and it's something that all clubs and the AFL need to spend probably more money and more resources into to look after the players.
Levan, if they counted up the Richmond best and fairest right now, who are the two or three players that had fight it out?
Maybe Dustin Martin and Cochi, maybe, I think. That'd be
Brandon
up there.
Ellis.
Yeah, Brandon's been very consistent. Great. So. Yeah.
And now, I don't want to give away where you live, Ivan, but there's been a bit of action in your street in recent times. There's been the odd Molotov cocktail drive-by style. It's been close by. Has that been... you live, I think, close by, Ivan.
Very, very close
it's
by.
Scary.
Yeah, woke me up Sunday morning at 6:15.
Molotov!
Jumped out of bed.
You missed all this, Jim.
Yeah, jeez. The street was sort of... Felt like the whole street was on fire, but got out there and the neighbours were really good. They were onto it with the fire extinguisher and that. But a few other characters that live in the street. I think
leave it at that, Brian.
Roberta.
I leave it at that, Brian.
Okay.
Nah, look, she's been very friendly to me and likewise. So,
good.
Yeah.
As we let you go, mate, and we thank you very much for giving us as much of your time as you have. The shag, are we rusted onto it? What's the latest with it? The moulay?
Yeah.
Is it a lifetime go, or are you going to go any other way?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a lifetime thing, but it could be. We never know. But definitely a Richmond thing. So yeah.
I like
Tex abandoned his, didn't he? And you were disappointed with that.
Well, I think he might have done that because he's looking for a wife. But, I've got a wife and I'm married, so maybe that's
and
the reason.
And his big ears stick out there now,
that's
for sure. So he must
I'd love it. Yeah, Chief. I'd love to have the option of a moulay.
Lend some to you. Hey, great to see you, and good luck tonight with the Tigers and everything that's coming up. It's a really exciting story building at Punt Road.
Cheers,
thanks, Ivan.
Ivan Marich, a star of
sometimes
the competition,
Jim,
and one of our favourites.
People come in and they sound a lot different to the way you think.
That's it.
What a well-spoken,
beautiful,
considered, quality young man.
And loves Triple M, which is why we love him. It's a mutual admiration 100%. Society. Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!